Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Hi, Rashida.
Hey, Lauren. How's it going?
Good. I like your new glasses.
Thank you. I am feeling it and not feeling it. You know, I've been hiding behind frames for a very long time, the thick ones. And now it's like, oh, these thin little things, but there's a certain vibe to it that I'm digging. So thank you.
You're welcome. I think they're super cute. I think, your look has evolved a little bit since I've met you. Just little things here and there, but I dig all of it. Especially the hair jewelry. And you have this like crescent moon that hangs kind of up top. Yeah. And I'm just totally obsessed with it.
Thank you. I am feeling the hair jewelry too. And I have to like get more.
And I'm curious to ask, like, what do you mean by hiding?
Yeah. So surprisingly enough, I don't, and maybe this is not so much hiding. No, I'm gonna call a spade a spade. I don't like the way I look without glasses typically. And I don't know if it's because I've worn glasses like my whole life almost, like I'd say 12. And I find myself with the bigger frames because it takes away a little bit. It's almost like putting on a mask, so to speak. When I was feeling into like this time when I was picking out my glasses, I was feeling into like why I was like gravitating towards a certain look. And it was always like in the back of my mind, well, this exposes your face. This makes, you know, your face is more prominent in this. And yeah, I kind of found I was hiding myself behind my frames. So I decided I didn't want to do that.
Well, you have a beautiful face, so thank you for sharing it.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to see it. This is a good segue, I think, to bring our guest right on today. Just speaking of style, and I'm so excited to get into conversation. So today we have with us Susanna Merrick, and she is a highly sought after aura reader, stylist, and spiritual coach. She is the founder of AuraWare, a method and brand that focuses on self-expression through color, fashion, and wellness. And her mission is to empower women to take the reins of their self-expression through manifestation and creative spiritual practices. Her work has been featured in Goop, Elle, Allure, Marie Claire, and your Spiritual Besties podcast. So welcome, Susanna.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure this is my favorite reference so far. And we haven't even gotten started yet. So listen.
Well, we're so happy to have you on. We ask all of our guests the same question to start. And we'd love to know, what is spirituality to you?
Yeah, this is such a great question. So spirituality is the bridge for me to get to the other side of my contentment, my happiness, my emotional state on the day-to-day. Practices, rituals, these are things that I've learned create a more regulated nervous system for me, and create an outcome that is more aligned with my desires. So spiritual practices are very practical in my world. I come from a religious background. I like grew up in a cult, basically. And so when it came to spiritual practices and finding things in my own spirituality and connecting the dots, what resonated deeply was this kind of no fuss, nonchalant, grounded approach. So I think that, and then of course, like from there, it does span out. And there's like these currents where you can connect to deeper things and the ethers and all of that. It's super cool. But for me, the beginning of really tapping into spirituality is always about the consistency of the practice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. And I love in your work how you really talk about getting dressed as a ritual and you connect it to spirituality. And I would love to know, like, for you, where is this intersection between fashion and spirituality? How do they connect?
So for me, well, so much of this like started for my own personal journey, just like trying to find the right tools, finding things that really resonated with me. And I wasn't, it just, I kept trying things and it wasn't sticking. And I knew there was this big bridge, right, that I needed to kind of to create for myself and what I wanted. And a lot of that had to do with kind of the ways that I was learning to understand my internal world, how I, my internal world kind of acted, how my energy and my aura responded, you know, around me, how, and like really for me, the biggest kind of pivot and understanding of the crossroads was when I started to understand that when I can start to really be in my own internal world, protect my energy, harness my energy, set really clear boundaries, create practices and rituals that serve my desires and what I want in my life, then I could start to kind of move into this place of embodiment and expression. And so the style part kind of just became like this natural part of just the embodiment work for me. So dressing and expressing. And also for me, I really wanted to kind of reclaim what fashion meant to me, style meant to me back in the day, because I got into the industry and started to experience a lot of classism and status and quo in this world. And it took away the fun for me and the expression. And it left me, just like you kind of said, Rashida, where you're like, I'm hiding behind my glasses. And I found myself hiding behind black all the time. I found myself just choosing clothes because I wanted to fit into a certain mold, or I wanted my clothes to kind of conceal or you know, hide parts of me that I didn't really want to express. And I started to see this line. And then when the resistance started to come up around wanting to fully express, I said, aha, there is a full-on connection here. And so thus then led me down a rabbit hole of creating all of the things that I have now in this space. But yeah, and I mean, ultimately it just kind of came back to reclaiming my sovereignty and my own embodiment and expression.
I have a question for you, Susanna. You said, this resistance came up to you wanting to fully express. What did that look like? And what did that feel like?
Great question. It felt horrible. It felt out of control. It felt like anxiety to the max, carrying it around. It felt like so much of whatever I was trying to control in the narrative or hide in the narrative of my style or who I was trying to fit in with or who I was trying to be. The truth was, my inner world was like, I don't know what I fucking want. Like, I'm sorry, can we cuss on this?
Yeah, please, please do. Everything is welcome. Be your fullest expression here.
But yeah, I was just like, I really was so lost and so unclear. And part of that had to do with the fact that I was a performer and actor for a very long time, and it was my full-on identity, and I was good at it and how it went. And I worked, and I never really stopped to ask myself what I wanted. And I was always trying to mold myself and to please other people and looking for that external validation, you know, the give me the cookie kind of energy. And when I started to say, I'm so over that, I'm so want to connect to who I am, what do I like, what do I want? That's when it really did. It felt like anxiety. It felt really fearful. It felt like I wanted to hide. And then it led to a journey of just really self-discovery through, you know, what lights me up, what makes me feel good. And I didn't feel good when I dressed that way. I didn't feel good when I hid. I didn't feel in my fullest expression. And so, yeah, that's what was happening.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we all go through like our journeys all look different, but there comes a point right now and like the resistance that you talked about and how the anxiety, like we come to a point where we know internally that we have to like make this shift, but our ego or whatever it is like there's no turning back from this point. So we're almost afraid, but thank you for being vulnerable and sharing that part of yourself.
Well, just to speak to that, like so much of us, I call it perfection paralysis. You know, it's like that energy of what you're kind of saying. It's like, you know, there's a choice you need to make. You know, there's like, I want to make changes in my life. I want to be proactive about these different things I want. But then like this perfection or at least this is what I experienced, would come into play. But I can't do it now. Like I can't do it now because it's not going to look like this and it needs to be like this. And for me, the bridge was the curiosity and the compassion I started to kind of have for myself and my own thoughts and my mind and what I was creating, but also just in my closet, you know, like there were things I'd be like, I could never wear that, but I would like hoard things, you know? And then like, I was like, well, I live in New York. Like, of course I can wear this. And while it would be vulnerable to put something on and then like someone say something, you know, a coworker, friend, but at some point things started to shift and change, you know, and it changed my energy and people noticed. And it really created almost this place of like, I could be a little messy. I could be a little daring. And then that really, I know for working on that internally and then embodying it externally created this space where it made it easier to just kind of show up in my own life and make the hard decisions and bridge the gaps. And did things happen? It got weird in the best way. And then I was like, okay, got to trust this because this is real weird. Like, and yeah, I mean, it's like, and for me, that was the big aha that like, there's like sorcery in the embodiment of dressing.
I love that so much. And I'm calling myself out here. So
yeah,
I have been really feeling into like trying to feel into like my vibe, like what I really want to wear. I'm very big on dresses and the ease and flow of dressing. But sometimes I want this like look of like, not like a halter top, but like a mid crop, but like, you know, having things come up and showing a little bit of skin. And I would sit there and I would try something on and I'd be like, nah, nah, that's not going to work. What would people think? What would people say? Like, are you dressing for your body type? You saying what you said, it almost is like giving me permission to like, if this is like what I want to wear, like,
right.
Where am I holding myself back at being fully expressed? And I never thought about it in my clothing. Yeah. You know, what is actually trying to come through the things that I'm wearing and what's in my closet?
Yeah, it's that forward motion, right? It's the act, if you will, of the doing that creates kind of this safety within to express and explore. And I think the biggest kind of connector for me was, especially with my coaching clients and like the work that we do, it's really about that part of you where it's like, I have fear. I'm scared to kind of step up and claim this. I'm afraid to feel these certain things. I'm afraid to go through these certain, you know, turmoils and expressions. But there is something really simple about like putting something on that you're like, people are going to look at me like I'm silly. I can either claim it and own it right now. Right. And it gives you that like, that ability to get up the cringe mountain, if you will. Like, you know, I heard someone say once that are like cringe mountains, like this mountain, right? And everybody who wants to like be seen and like have full view of everything has got to climb cringe mountain. But like, as you're climbing cringe mountain, it's real cringe because everybody's looking at you going, like, and then you're at the top and then you're on the other side. And I think that like style kind of gives you that ability to like get through the cringe and then you're like, oh, I don't care anymore. I just like this because I like it. Yeah. And it connects that dot for your brain to be like, oh, well, this is me. This is my trust. I'm trusting myself. This is my truth. This is what I desire versus the external. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of a silly story.
Yeah. It comes up for you.
So, I'm sorry, Mom, if you're listening. In my 20s, I remember sitting in a diner on LSD and wearing like,
as one does, you know,
as one does, yeah, just wearing some ridiculously bright, fun vintage outfit because that's how I spent my 20s, not on LSD, but wearing vintage and cool thrifted clothes and stuff. And you know, the ego really goes away on something like that. And I remember sitting and thinking, like, you know, everyone really should be thanking me for like bringing so much color and fun into this space.
That's the best thought ever. Yeah.
And it's so funny. I think about it now because, like, well, I had an appointment with you just to like kind of get myself back into alignment, I think, as far as like my outside
Yeah,
matching,
how's it been
like,
going
you know,
since I last saw you?
it's been going great. I felt, you know, not like huge changes in the way I dress, because a lot of things I love that I wear, but
Yeah.
just you know, permission to play a little bit more and to, I don't know, just get back to me. Because I think, and I'm sure some people listening might feel the same way, like a pandemic where you're like not really making a lot of contact
Yeah.
with the outside world, and having a baby on top of that, really like threw me off
Oh
my
yeah.
fashion
I
game.
can
Yeah, I just started wearing like red lipstick again, which is something I really love, but like I stopped because I was wearing a mask everywhere,
Yeah.
you
Oh
know?
yeah, I started wearing it again at some point when during the pandemic, and I would like find these lipstick stains on all my masks, and I was like, "Oh yeah, I
Yeah.
forgot I put this on."
I know, it was such a pain. So it's nice to kind of like, okay, I'm still postpartum in a way, but like kind of past that
Yeah.
phase and past the pandemic, and I can like be in my own style again and embody this like new version of me that also honors like the 20-year-old who was on acid sitting in a diner loving how beautifully bright her clothes were.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, I
Yeah.
love that.
So I'd love to shift and ask you about the aura aspect of everything. Like, when did
Yeah.
you start reading auras? What does that look like in your life? And then I'd love to like continue talking about how that's
Yeah.
incorporated into your service.
Yeah, it's funny. My journey with reading auras, like I was a child, I told my parents that I saw and experienced colors around people. And my parents were very like, yeah, it's normal. Like just like matter of fact about it. And I have some like really specific things that happened that I experienced that I now connect and understand as part of synesthesia and understand as part of like clairsentience and how I kind of experience aura and energy. But when I told my dad, my dad's a pastor, well, was a pastor, and I was like a professor. But when I told my dad, I was like, "No, I see colors around people." And he's like, "Oh yeah, well, what colors do you see?" And like I kind of started talking to him, and he's listening to me. And I just remember, like now when I think about that moment, it's really funny because my dad was like connecting the dots for me, and we've like talked about it as like as adults now, but I just remember my dad was like very like, yep, Jesus had an aura, yep, it's painted in pictures, yep, yep, those are real, yep, it's electric magnetic field, like he was like very,
Like
you know,
scientific, like matter of fact, like yeah, th there's no
right,
like wonder or awe in it. It's just this is what it is.
yeah,
Fact, very factual.
well, and it was so validating to me as a kid sharing that with my dad because it made me go, oh God, I'm not crazy. Like I like, okay. And then thus the journey into elementary school and high school and where like I did really learn how to turn it on and off. And while I'm really grateful for learning how to do that at that time, it was embarrassing. It was not like cool like it is now to be like, yeah, I read auras. Like if I told people that in high school, like they'd be like, what?
Weirdo,
Yeah,
who are
yeah.
you? Yeah.
So, and then I went to art school in Savannah, Georgia, and like I would have a few drinks and parties, and I'd be like, yeah, let me read your aura. And then they'd be like, wait, can you do that again? Wait, that was help. Actually, can you wait? Like it was like very this experience where it wasn't like people were just coming up to me and being like, what color am I? Or like this, like the way I was channeling, and I now obviously know that and what I'm doing. But my approach is always to be very like down to earth with it, very realistic. And like part of my vision of what I want to create is this like understanding as women and our power and our strength and who we are and how we're kind of showing up in the world, but also as spiritual space holders and intuitives, like drawing the line that this is not, we're not gurus, we're not anybody we're not in, like, we don't deserve to be on a pedestal. And I think there's this industry piece that exists within the space that I've always known that I'm supposed to be a big disruptor of, which is that the ego part that's like, I'm your guide and I'm your, like,
yes, queen.
You know, I think, yeah, like it's like, no, you have lived experience that I can benefit from, but also you're no better of a human than I am, or vice versa. Yeah. And I think that we have to really eradicate this message because it's so toxic for women.
Yeah. Well, it's patriarchal. And, it's
oh, totally.
It's the old way.
Wrapped up in a pretty new bow of spirituality. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so much of what I want to see and create in the world is, you know, next year I'm launching a certification program and I want people to be able to take these tools, the color work that, you know, I've kind of curated down and is distilled down, and the archetypes, in a way to kind of see this information about yourself and your aura, but also how to, like, channel and understand things through the message of color, through the way that it makes you feel and what you experience and what you see, to just ultimately help each other, you know? And that to me is like, I've always seen women sitting around, like, having aura wear parties and, like, reading each other's energy and dressing each other and playing and, like, having that expression. And it's, like, totally witchy and just, like, fun. But it is a different version of, like, listen, let me tell you, I've been to plenty of chant circles. I have been to plenty of, like, sacred baby ceremonies. Okay, they're great. My best friend lives downstairs. She's a Reiki master. Okay. She's amazing and I love her work, but it doesn't always resonate with me. And I know that it's okay if it does. Like, there's expression and creativity in it. And if it resonates with you, awesome. If you love that, but also, like, if you're like, I try and it doesn't, but there might be another version for you. And that I wanted to create a space where women could feel safe to explore and play with that witchy magic, that fun, that expression, that didn't leave them outside themselves. I come from religious trauma. So a lot of times that stuff really, like, it's not, it triggers me. Like, and that doesn't say it's wrong or bad. It doesn't say that, right? But it's like, I grew up in a cult where women had to wear long dresses that looked like prairie dresses. And we had to stand in a circle. And we had to be told to sit down and shut up and this and that. And so, like, if I'm holding hands with a bunch of women in a circle, that's coming up for me, right? Yeah. So... So for me, it's just about creating a space, not just for women like that, but women who even just, like, never even grew up with any of that, like, never had those experiences and want to explore experiences, but in a way that feels connected to them. So that's kind of where this was born from, if you will.
Yeah, I love that so much. And it kind of reminds me of like the work that Lauren and I do around reading. And when we did training together to, you know, read the chakras and, you know, do all these healings and other things, we would always get things a little bit different. Even now on the pod, when we do readings, like, things come to us so differently. And sometimes that can be maybe off-putting for some who are maybe trying to read as well. You know, you get something different, but I feel like you were creating a space, like, you're fully stepped into your Dharma, creating a space to show others that it is okay to not go with the status quo and be the same, because everything looks different and it's okay that it doesn't resonate. Because I do believe, like, when you say, you know, I want to create the space so other people and other women know that you can still do these things, even if the others don't resonate. I think that's a big issue a little bit with spirituality. Like, cause if you don't resonate with these things, you might not feel like you can dig in more, that you can even express yourself in a different way. So I really love the fact that you are doing that work. Now, you said color work, obviously with the auras, I know that, but tell me a little bit more about it. I'm curious, what is color work?
So there's kind of, like, separations in this work where there's color medicinally, where we use it medicinally, and this has been done for hundreds of thousands of years.
Okay.
And there's studies that show that, you know, color has this kind of effect on us, right? And that it can either, I always say, whether it's like an emotional experience, you have identified with these colors, or it is energy that's affecting you. I lean towards more of this energy that's affecting you and that you can, like, feel, but whatever, I always say it doesn't matter. but whichever one is yours, you get to decide. And then it's the intention behind using the color that's going to support you, right? And so for me, setting your intentions and what you want to be like healing and embodying, color can kind of support, same as expression and style, right? So we kind of separate the two. And I always say, like, bonus if you can find something that has an expression and style and also is that color, but it doesn't like have to be that color, right? Or you could simply just work with that color by painting it on your fingernails or having a mug or a pen that's that color. Like, there are simple ways to work with color.
You don't have to go all out.
Right. And so the biggest kind of draw line for me was, so I'm a little bit of a rebel in this space, especially when it comes out. No. I am not your personality diagnosis gal. And that seems to be like the stance a lot of orators like to take. So I have not experienced color this way. I do think there's like colors that are kind of connected to people, or like base colors or signature, like signature style, right? But your energy is allowed to change.
Yeah.
And there's actually considered 12 layers of your aura. You know, 7 of them as the chakras, right? Mm-hmm. And these layers aren't like, they're like different elements of you and your physical and ethereal and spiritual and soul and your body. I mean, it's complicated shit. And also those layers can come to me with different colors. They're not all the same, right? So for me, I just kind of steer away from the personality diagnosis part of it. And so why that's so important is that you have a say in who you are and how you show up.
Mm.
And I think that the old messaging is that your aura is erratic and it just does its own thing. And like, you never know. And that's so not true. Like, you can like, think about it this way. We can control your aura right now in your body. Okay. Think
about to play.
We're gonna play. Everybody has these human experiences. So we can tap into it. Okay. Think about your first big heartbreak.
Okay.
Yeah. Notice where you feel it in your body. Mm-hmm. Notice how your energy kind of retracts. Notice if it's heavy, thick. I mean, it's even a time when you can start to tap into your psychic senses if you're already working on those parts of you. Notice what you're seeing, tasting, feeling. Maybe you're even seeing color now. Now, it's like kind of lift out of that heartbreak. Come back into the space neutral. It's going to linger a little. Now, think about first, most significant, absolute, most important, or maybe you have multiple loves in your life. Feel that in your body. Notice your energy change. You just changed your aura. And I think knowing this is so important when it comes to claiming what you want to be working with, what you want to be creating, how you want to be shifting. So color has a lot, we have a lot of statistics and information on the psychology side of color, spiritual side of color, and then also just as a collective, right? And what we've experienced with it, what it means. I always say we all speak color intuition, you know, so there's already things, but at the end of the day, if it makes you feel a certain way, it's the color for you to be working with. So I've taken in my method and the process, I have taken all of the colors of the aura and I've broken them down by things you want to heal and then what you can manifest and create from there. So just as you might heal heartbreak, how do you manifest and create the love in your life, right? What do you have to move through to get there? And so then the color becomes kind of wrapped around whatever you're healing, what you're going through. So you use it in your meditation, you're journaling around it. So when you consciously and subconsciously see that color out and about in the world, you're reminding yourself or you're reprogramming or reaffirming your neurons in your brain that this is what I'm working on. It's what I'm creating. This is what I'm healing. And of course, then there's all the different ways you can go through it with that. But the goal is always to get you to the other side. And then that's where the embodiment piece really starts to come in. Because now that you have possibility, now that you're like, okay, I feel like I can invite in love, right? I feel like I can invite in this job opportunity. I feel like, okay, great, cool. How does she dress? What's that future concept? How is she showing up? What is she wearing? You know, who is she seeing? How is she adorning herself? And that is just this direct way of like controlling, or not controlling, I hate the word controlling, harnessing. Like the word controlling seems to be on a list of bad words. Harnessing and embodying the energy, and then that's like the law of attraction, right? Then you start to invite these things in. And we've all feel that when we're in that alignment and we're like, how do we explain that alignment, right? But it's your energy, it's your aura. Yeah.
Wow. So deep. But you've like, I mean, really worked with that, and it totally makes sense.
Yeah, having gotten a peek at, oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I just connected the dots. Like, I think I felt really honored to be the person that gets to do it. Yeah. It lights me up and it excites me, but I just connected a lot of dots. We already know, like, you know, that's all I was going to say.
All this is really intriguing. I loved my reading, and I would love for you to talk more about like the color archetypes, because I think, Rashida, this is going to kind of blow your mind, because like Susanna gave me three main colors to work with. And then it's not like wear that color. It's like, this is what this color means. And this is what it's here to heal. And this is how you dress to do that. Like, for instance, I think it was orange that has this kind of like masculine feel almost, or like a balance between mask and femme. Yeah. It can heal like father wounds and things like that. So it might mean like putting on a leather jacket over your floral dress just to give you that like feeling of badass edge that day, because that's what you're needing. Yeah. So that's my hopefully okay summary of it.
Yeah, no, it's great. I love it. That's exactly it. It's here to support you in your journey. It's here to kind of support you in what you want to kind of like step into, and at simultaneously helping you show up, you know. And like, it's funny because you're like, I hide behind my glasses, but like, what's the ladder of that, right? Where it's like, actually, these glasses make me feel like XYZ, right? And when I put these glasses on, like, nobody can mess with my energy, right? And nobody gets a say in how I show up, right?
Yeah.
And that is the difference when you see somebody on the street who's just wearing something that you're like, whoa, right? It's an embodiment. I've been playing around recently with luxury items. Like, this is so like something so like new for me. Like, I grew up in poverty. We grew up with six kids. Like, and even when starting my journey of emotional wealth, like, I always kind of say, like, these things are overflow. Like, all the manifestations, all the things are overflow from just being in the contentment of your life and what you create. I've been playing around with this energy with luxury items. Now, you can take the girl out of the Walmart, but you cannot take the Walmart out of the girl. Okay? So, like, I recently bought, like, a pair of like Hermes sandals. I was like, oh, all right. And I really liked them. And I was like, yeah, but I like want them in other colors. And so I found, and so there's actually an article right now you can go read that's brilliant, called it's something the Super Fakes, like it's on Super Fakes. And it's all about how the industry's actually really changed, because I know a lot about fast fashion, y'all. And I will tell you, if you want to learn, just DM me. But like, basically what the article is ensuing is that all of the factories are all making the same bags and the shoes. They're sourcing the same leathers. Like, if you get a really, you can't pay like, listen, you got to pay a little bit of money, but not, you're not paying like thousands of dollars for these things. Okay. And they're still sourced from the same places. You're paying for cost, labor, and shipping. And the items themselves are like identical, right? And so the argument in the article is that the difference is only the aura of the energy of the bag, right? There's two bags made in the same place. Let me tell you, when I put on the real ones, it is different. It is different. It is different. I can't tell you why it's different. But also when I have the other ones on, I'm like, they look just like them. Like, so they're still, and so I joke and I call them, like, and I tell my girls all the time, like, listen, we can have placeholders. We can have placeholders for things. Like, if you want an Hermes bag one day and you see a bag that looks very similar and you're like, I want that bag. I want to feel into the energy. How do I carry that bag? How do I show up? Right. And so my joke is like, there's placeholders, right? These items that can kind of like help us start to embody the energy until like you, then you manifest that thing, you know? But again, at the end of the day, it's never actually about the item that like, we think the item's going to make us happy. We think the manifestation is the thing, right?
Right.
And then we get there because it's going to give us a certain experience and a feeling. And but the truth is, if you just start embodying it now, right, that becomes the emotional part of it, like where you, it's just overflow if you get those things. And so for me, taking that same kind of idea of like the expression and the style, you can start to like play with your future self concept. You can start dressing in a way that maybe you didn't dress in before. And it's okay, like, because it does align with you if it is part of what you want to create in your life.
See, I never thought about that, like, in terms of clothing. And this is just, like, so interesting. And honestly, like, also, like, giving me permission to just say, fuck it. And
yeah, exactly.
Just put that shit on, Rashida.
Yeah. What is it Joe Dispenza always says? You can overcome your emotions and take your life back. And when you change the frequency of your emotions, you change the frequency of your life. And that has always stuck with me, like, throughout this work, because it really is about changing the frequency of your emotional state to then create a different outcome. And I think where we get it wrong sometimes is just like chasing. We're chasing a feeling, we're chasing the desire, we're chasing all of these things. And like, style just gives you this ability to do it right now, be it right now. You know, like, I remember during the pandemic, I would like get dressed up to go to the dog run. And for the while, my husband was like, what are you doing? We're going to the dog run. And I was like, leave me alone. I would like get dressed up to go to the grocery store because I was just like craving. I would be like buying these. I'm like, I want to be in my self-expression. And everybody would always like, I would walk in. They'd be like, I'd have a mask on, you know, they'd be like, your outfit. Da, da, da. And I was at the dog run and two things happened. And I really swear by this. Swear by it, swear by it. Two things happened. One, I was at the dog run. I met this woman who come to find out worked at Allure magazine. And I like witnessed myself doing this, and I know it's because of the outfit. But I was like, oh, I love that magazine. Oh, it's a dream of mine to be in it. And I was like, what did you just say?
Sorry, y'all. I laugh kind of loud.
That's fine. And at any rate, come to find out, she ended up recommending me to a woman, and I was in their print issue in September, the color issue. And, you know, and the reason she even came over to me was because of my outfit. She was like, and she had very expressive and like magenta-like energy, which I'll get into talking about the archetypes. But, and then the second time I was there, and this woman came over and she said she liked my hat I was wearing at the dog run. And come to find out, she was one of the founders of Thinks Underwear.
What?
And I ended up like doing a reading for her and like doing some consulting work. Again, if I would have worn my sweatpants, would she have talked to me? No.
Absolutely not.
No, yeah. It wouldn't have happened. So there's power in it, y'all. That's all I'm saying.
Wow. I love like this entire reframe because one, like a lot of women's fashion has been designed to like attract men, you know, throughout history.
Oh yeah.
And like there's definitely a part of like beauty, fashion, diet industries that work together to like make women feel like shit about themselves so that they'll just like keep buying more stuff. So this right. is all about like self-expression and self-embodiment and spiritual embodiment, and like, what life am I like harnessing and creating and co-creating with the universe, which is awesome, because like, we have to wear clothes. That's just part of being a human. And like, I love this quote from RuPaul. It's like, we're all born naked and the rest is drag. So it's like, what is your drag? Is your drag sweatpants? And that's okay. But like, you're still making that choice every day. And that's how you're like presenting yourself to you and to the world. So like, why not have some fun and intentionality with it?
Listen, girl, we got an archetype for that. If you want to wear your sweatpants, they will serve a purpose. We got an archetype. Like, and then I'm like, then now it's time to get out of that archetype if it is no longer serving you. And that's like the fun part. It's like, you get to kind of really tune into yourself and notice and use the tool to be like, is this serving, or is this hiding, or is this creating resistance in what I want, or is this like safe or comfortable? So it gives you a place sometimes to like notice that, right? But like, I know I will sometimes like be so forceful and like, I can't wear this, I can't wear that. But sometimes I just want to wear sweatpants. Like, sometimes I'm just attracted to wearing neutral colors and it's okay. But like, there's a thought that's like, well, like, your brand is colorful, right? And it's like, but I want the beige set. Leave me alone, Janet. Like, I always think of like Janet from, I'm like dating my age, but from the Brady Bunch. Or Jan, or whatever her name is.
Jan.
You can't do that. Jan, you can't do that. I don't think so. Right? That's my inner voice. She talks like Jan.
Marsha. But like the beige set, like for me, if I'm going for that day, it's because I want to have like a serene energy about me. And sometimes the color can feel like overstimulating.
Totally. There's truth to that. Like, there's actual truth, like science and facts that like show that like certain colors can stimulate things. Like yellow and red stimulate appetite. What famous brand do we know uses those two colors, right?
Yeah. And I have heard that before.
Yeah. Or like, versus like, blue makes you calm and serene. And yellow is one of these funny colors. Like, it could actually evoke anxiety in a lot of people. I like had this dress for a while and I was like, I finally drew the line. Like, it was like several times wearing it. It was like neon yellow and it was long sleeve. I have a few pictures of myself in it. You guys, if you were like, go down the rabbit hole, you'll probably find it on the internet. And it's like, has these tiny polka dots. And I'd wear this dress and I'd just be like, what is going on? Every time I wear this dress, is it just a coincidence? And then I wore it a couple more times and I was like, no, I cannot do this right now. And like, I like still hanging in my clothes. I probably should get rid of it, clear it out. Anyways, the point is that like, there are certain yellows that will make people like nauseous if they look at them. So there is like, if you are very tuned in, which I would argue that Lauren is, then it is very much like a part of like really maintaining and like checking in. And it gives you this ability to be able to like regulate your energy too. I mean, that's like high practice, y'all. Listen, if you have not done any of the other work, it ain't gonna work. But if you have, then color can be this thing that you can kind of lean into every day. And that's like the gift of doing the work, right?
Yeah. I actually had this image that came to mind of like me in my closet, like with my hand out over my clothes. So would you suggest like, you know, obviously get a reading with you and figure out, you know, go through the archetypes and everything like that. But
yeah,
I think sometimes we kind of know we need to clear some space, but holding on to our items can be a bit safe.
Are you speaking for a friend?
Yes, of course. So many besties just asked me about this. How would you go about like just creating that space and like, because making room, because we all know that if we hold on to relationships or things like that, or just items, like we're just not creating that room. But I think sometimes we hold attachments to our things and our clothes. And how would you speak to that?
So one of my really, really good girlfriends is a fashion designer and jewelry maker and owned several stores in the city for a long time and has a lot of opinions. And I remember her telling me this one thing. She goes, you can always tell someone's favorite decade or like the best time in their life based off of the way they dress. And I was like, what? And she'd be like, yeah. And she like pointed to this woman, and she was probably in her like 40, like 40s at this time. This is like 15 years ago. She's like, see her? She loved the grunge era. She had the best time in college, and that's why she's still wearing baby doll dresses. And like, and I thought, oh, that's really interesting, right? Where it's like, we do have these things in our closet that like tell stories, or like they do remind us of versions of ourselves. But also sometimes we're hanging on to an old version of ourselves. I call it in my work, I call it the hot girl hangover, right? Where women will come to me, right? And they'll be like, oh, I used to just be so good looking and so hot, and I could wear everything I wanted in my 20s, and now I can't, right? And I'm like, okay, let's like really pull back the curtain. Remember when you were in your 20s and you were like a hot mess? Okay. Like you were like going this way, that way. You didn't know what was up or down or left or right. And now you are a sophisticated, like lived experience in your body and your life and who you are. And like now you get to dress her, and she needs you to show up for her. She doesn't need you to be longing and like comparing yourself to an old version of yourself, which, and like romanticizing that version of yourself, right? When like right now, and I think a lot of that has to do with the patriarchy and telling us the messaging being around like, you lose value as you get older. You lose your currency is your beauty. And we do this. We feed this to 20-year-old women. We feed this to 40-year-old women. Like it's like you hit 40 and all of a sudden you're no longer relevant. You're no longer, you're in. And we like the messaging is like so clear, right? That you are no longer valuable, and it's such BS. And then you spend your 20s and getting into your 30s with it, getting into anxiety and like, oh my God, I'm losing that version of myself. Ugh. And the truth is, it's just like every minute is a new minute. Every second is a new second. Every day is a new day. You get to show up. You get to co-create. And if you want to stick with that narrative, great. It's going to stay in your body. It's going to drive you crazy, or you can show up and you can just take the reins and change it. That's it.
Susanna,
But yeah, hot girl
preach.
hanger is real. I'm like,
It's so true. Man, like, I feel like we try to do the work in so many ways, but gosh, Susanna, this is just like so like tangible and like just like right now. Like we always talk about like waiting for that manifestation and letting the universe bring it to us, but not so much control, because I know you said you don't like that word, but this is like something we can do right now to like make that energy shift, change our aura, like create this intention behind what we're manifesting to like even maybe like put us on a fast track in a way.
I mean, just imagine a world of women where we're all fully healed, right? We are manifesting, we are dressing tonight. And just like what Laura said, it's like literally that connection between the old archetype of dressing for men. We do not dress for men, we dress for other women. We dress for our creative witchery and how they see us and perceive us and experience us. And just imagine how powerful that magic could be. How much we could really start to take up space in rooms and reclaim narratives across the board. But it requires all of us to show up and heal and do the work together. It requires us to trust ourselves, to trust our taste, trust what we like. It's a lot, you know, but at the end of the day, it could be a real sweet ass world, ladies. Some really safe, some progress.
I'm here for it
And you thought this was just a little bit thing about style, okay? They're like, oh,
Yeah.
this, what am I gonna wear? No, it is like claim that version of yourself. So I don't want to leave you hanging without, you know, going over all of the different archetypes. And while I would love to go over every single one of them, I think I'll kind of hit on a couple just to help you understand. If you want to learn more, you can go on my Instagram, you can book a reading with me. But so we're going to just start with kind of what I like to say are like the kind of the found, like the starting points, right? different aura energies to kind of like look at. And so all of this information I've kind of gathered from thousands and thousands of readings, color psychology work, the understanding of what messages have come through for people. And this has kind of become my like way of understanding how to embody. And it's ever evolving and ever growing, which is so cool. But I always say first and foremost, pink, right? Pink is this color, especially for women and women identifying women. It is about connecting to the feminine, your internal feminine, what that looks like, right? So whether that is what creatively makes you feel feminine, what makes you feel connected to the earth and your experience, you know, with nature, things like that, but also your practices and your self-care, right? And Cleo Wade once said, I saw her in an interview in a chat, like a fireside chat. She said, there's a difference between self-maintenance and self-care. And it's really important as women, we recognize that there are things that are just basic needs that we have that are not just for nourishment or pleasure, but they're just our rights as women to have these things. And that the beauty industry creates a space where it's like, we consume because we want to think that like it's this special nourishing thing when really a lot of it's just taking care of yourself, right? So by categorizing it this way, it's really, really helpful because then it's like you have your kind of your level, right, of like self-care, self-maintenance, like this is my standard. This is important to me. This is time that I absolutely can carve out. And as all of us being mothers, we understand how hard it can be to carve that time out. And if you're not a mother, also prioritizing your time can be hard too, especially if you're a people pleaser, you're trying to like find your way through that. So that standard we teach in working with pink. So pink is about looking at your closet and going, what makes me feel really girly and feminine and playful? What makes me feel romantic? Like what makes me feel like I'm romanticizing my life? What's going to feel really like self-care like and nourishing? That can look like things like, you know, tulle, ruffles, bows, things that are just, you know, like long skirts, whatever that looks like for you. But again, you get to kind of decide what that feminine edge is for you. But like when you think about looking at your closet, maybe right now your brain's kind of popping up a couple things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have red, which red, what we all know about red is that it's fiery, it's passionate, right? Sexy. For me, red is power. Power and claiming your ability to be seen and how you're seen and ability to kind of rewrite the narrative of how you're seen. So there's like this element of protection that comes in with red in the style, right? Where it's like that don't fuck with me energy, if you will. Like, but also like, I'm safe to be in my own body and express it on my terms, like what's sexy to me. So this might look different for all of you. You know, like we know, I would say it's like the Kim K style, like body con, right? But like maybe for you, it is wearing like a turtleneck and like leather pants, right? Or, and that like feels really sexy to you. Or maybe it is wearing like a really revealing like bustier underneath a blazer or whatever, however it looks for you. It's the point is it's always about reclaiming what you find to be feminine and sexy and powerful. So thinking about your closet that way. And then I'll jump over to one, a crazy one. And then there's green. Green is, she's classic, she's chic. You like think like she's timeless in the style and energy, but like, why would this serve you, right? Like you all, we all go to our closet every once in a while and we're just like, I just want something that makes me feel like I am renewed, I'm refreshed. And green tends to be that, right? Where it's like very posh or buttoned up and poised and like elegant, refined. Everyone's talking about old money right now, old money, or like old money luxury. Are you on that side of TikTok?
No.
Everyone's like, okay, so if you are and you're listening, you get it. But there's like Sophia Richie, right? Everyone was talking about Sophia Richie's wedding and everything she was wearing, and like everything she's wearing is like very green. It's just very like, and like she's like elevated. And the truth is that's her energy right now. She's like embodying this like old world experience, like elegant, and like it shows in her aura and her energy. So that style, when can that serve you? How can that support you? Well, red can serve you when you're healing the feminine wounds, when you're like reclaiming your sexuality. Pink can heal you when you're like redefining your terms with your self-care, your mother wound, your relationships with other women, how you're perceived, you're seen in circles of women. And then green can heal you in this way that's like really focusing on like where your values are. Like, what are you reevaluating? Like, what are your values first and foremost? What's not serving you and your values anymore? Your ambition, how you see your ambition, how you hold yourself. Is there shame in your hustle, or is there hard work in your hustle that feels good and in flow? And if there's shame in your hustle, then greens, you're likely have a lot of green in your energy and you probably already dress that way. So it's like, got to get you to another type, which brings up one that I'll share. And this is the last one. I want to share all of them, but I can't, I have to go. but the last one is magenta. And like, while you would think pink is very similar to magenta, in fact, it is not. They're very opposite. Magenta is an energy that is a non-conformist kind of energy, a go against the grain, a disruption energy. When it's important to embody this is when you're healing like a lot. Like, for instance, right now, one of my clients, she's a child of an immigrants, and she went to nursing school, and she just moved from San Francisco to New York to create, you know, start her tarot business. And she immediately was like, I gotta get a job as a nurse. And I was like, okay. And then she did. And now she's like, okay, I gotta work with magenta. And I was like, okay. She's like, yeah, cause I gotta disrupt. I gotta quit this job. And she did. She literally put in her 2 weeks. She, all of a sudden that week, 4 readings came through, like all this stuff started happening, all because I'm not kidding, because she was dressing in this way that made her feel like she could break the rules, that she could do things in her way. And so magenta looks like, you know, I always say it's like conversational pieces or like artsy, weird pieces that are just going to like your hair, right? These like charms in your hair. This is like both between turquoise and magenta, but like, very like, yeah, it's just expressive, it's you, it's eclectic. That energy can serve you deeply when you're healing your inner artist, when you're healing your creative wounds, when you are questioning your value and worth and how you show up, and your creative gifts. So yeah, and then there's a bunch of others, but that's all I can talk about today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all of that. Like, this, as Lauren knew, like literally rocked my world. I'm like sitting here thinking about all of these little things that I can like change and do, and definitely need to book a reading with you. Our listeners need to book a reading with you. This is amazing. Yeah. So where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me at auraawarenyc.com. You can also find me on Instagram at auraawarenyc, and you can find me on TikTok at auraawarenyc. But just a little shout out about my readings right now. Currently, I have a style signature reading. That's my only reading you can get with me. Every once in a while, if you're on my mailing list, we'll drop the link below. But if you're on my mailing list, then you can periodically get little readings here and there. We release them in small bunches. But for the most part, this is the reading. And let me tell you, this is my favorite one because you get a 19-page guide with basically custom mood boards, custom links, shopping links for you to go and like just live your best life, learning about new designers and styles that might reflect your energy at this time or what you want to call in. And that guide is like your tool. You get to hang it in your, put it in your closet. And we go over that guide together. So the call is split up in two. You get the first half or first hour, and then we have a 90 or a 30 minute follow-up where I go over your deck with you and share your colors that you're working with and your archetypes.
That's awesome. That sounds so good. And I know you said in the beginning that you are creating a program that's not coming out yet, but it will be soon. So everyone needs to get on your list to be like,
yeah,
to know about that.
I am very excited. So right now it's kind of behind the curtains. I'm offering it to the women that work in my group. I've done it. This is my third or fourth round, and it's called the Style Collective. The name is changing. And this is a space for women who have been doing self-development work for a while, who are wanting new tools to incorporate, who are ready to really start to look at their life in a way that is not just self-reflective, but like you've already been doing the reflective work and you're ready to really step up to a place where you can start to go, okay, what is not serving me? What is in service? And really slow down, tune in, like start to really learn to get into that trust muscle. We spend 6 months in that group focusing on, so that for me, that part of it is really about creating your own connection, because I do believe everybody can read energy and auras. But there are initiations and there are things you have to really learn and discover within yourself, so that when you do connect those dots for yourself, you also can help connect those dots for others. And so that space is going to be like very explorational. Like, I'm very excited. But yeah, it's coming out in the fall.
Oh, I am so excited and happy for you. This has been amazing. Lauren,
thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you for finding her, Lauren. This is awesome. And Susanna, thank you for coming on here. Now, I know we have to go, but we have one more question for you.
Yeah.
Could you be our bestie?
I thought you would never ask. I am so here for it. I'm all about making new friends.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you and all that you're doing, and disrupt this world, girl. We're ready for it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Collectively.
Mm-hmm. And stylishly.
I know. Listen, if we're going to do it, we're going to look real good. We're going to have an army. That's right. Can you see us now?
I love it.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Yeah. Thank you, Susanna. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.